Hello, it's Wednesday the 7th of June and the streets are filled with flat-capped 1930s newsboys shouting, "Read all about it!" Welcome back to Paper Cuts, our brand new podcast about the tantrums and triumphs that make up the great British press, with me, Miranda Sawyer. We're here every Monday, Wednesday and Friday with a close-up look at the absolute state of the Fourth Estate. Follow us on your favourite app so you don't miss an episode. Here are the headlines on today's edition. Harry's hacked off. Prince cross-examined by Daily Mirror lawyer over phone-tapping claims. Diamond blast. Russia accused of causing devastating floods by destroying Ukraine dam. And don't let them eat cake. Government offers weight loss jab to obese people to cut benefits bill and get them working. Welcome to Paper Cuts. We read the morning press so you don't have to. Thanks for joining us on Paper Cuts. We've had a fantastic response to our first edition this week. We're at number 10 and climbing in the actual main Apple podcast chart. So watch out, Rory Stewart and Alistair Campbell. Paper Cuts is coming for you. One listener told us we're a punchy news podcast that doesn't make you want to jump out of a window, which is very nice. And another said, "I hate the news. I like this podcast," which is great. We're very happy to be of service. And if you like the show, then please head over to Apple Podcasts and give us a hearty 5 stars and a good review. It all helps to get us in front of more people. So here today to help us pull the wings off the press and shove the body under the microscope, our journalist and parliamentary sketchwriter for The Critic magazine, Rob Hudden.
Hello.
Hello. How are you? And we also have TV and radio face about town and presenter of the super snappy morning news podcast, The Smart Seven, Jamie East.
Hello.
What headlines have grabbed your attention today? Jamie, what do you have?
I have in the mail, Harry in the witness box. His hacking testimony is forensically challenged for 5 grueling hours. He admits his memoir conflicts with his claims. KC accuses him of being in realm of total speculation. Prince attacks media and blasts UK's rock-bottom government. He must have longed for the schmaltzy embrace of Oprah.
Park life!
He must have longed for the schmaltzy embrace of Oprah by Jamwire in the mail.
That's an epic, an absolute epic, all slagging Harry off, isn't it? There's also The Sun. What have you got? What's the
The Sun was a cracker. Me, Hewitt, and that two-faced shit Burrell.
Could be something else, though. Just say S star star T.
It might be Soot.
It could be Soot, yes.
Scott.
But there are other stories, aren't there, Rob? Not just Harry. What have you got?
So The Guardian, The Times and The Telegraph are all leading on the dam in Ukraine that collapsed yesterday morning. The Guardian's going with environmental disaster. The Times has gone with Russia may target nuclear plant next. And The Telegraph's gone with bombing of dam, a new low for Russia, which is Rishi Sunak's words, I think.
The Telegraph's also got a technical term, fit picture of Prince Harry on the front.
He does. He looks really good. This is what happens when you get a suit made to measure that fits. Sometimes you just see someone you go, that's what an expensive suit looks like. Yeah, no.
He's popped his cuffs. He looks like he's a geezer perfect. From a Guy Ritchie film. Okay, so look, we've got one pretty unified story today, and that is Prince Harry taking the stand yesterday and being cross-examined about his civil case against the Mirror Group newspapers. Just as a kind of reminder, he's brought the case with 3 other people, 2 actors from Coronation Street and Paul Whitehouse's ex-wife. He has 147 alleged complaints, but the judge has asked him to focus on 33. But as well as this case, which is against the Mirror Group, mm-hmm. he's also part of a similar case brought against Associated Newspapers. They own the Mail and News Group, and they publish The Sun and The Times.
Yeah.
That is the context. So, Rob, I'm going to you. Shall we discuss the different ways that, I mean, there's an overarching approach towards this, isn't there, across the papers, and then it's also covered in different ones?
Yes. So, I mean, the first thing is you've got to understand, if you're a royal correspondent, you're very used to making not very much go a very long way. I mean, you know, these are professionally, you get a remark from the Queen or half a sentence or something, and you can see if you can spread that very thin sliver of butter over an awful lot of slices of toast over the week. And suddenly you've got it's Christmas. You've got him talking about paternity. You've got him talking about his relationship with Chelsea. You've just got sort of
He was basically on the stand for 5 hours, and during that time he slagged off Paul Burrell. He talked about Chelsea Davey and how his relationship was messed up. He mentioned James Hewitt.
Hewitt my dad?
That
story on its own could sustain Britain's tabloid press for a week. It's the most frustrating thing in papers sometimes is when you just get too much, and it's like, no, stop. Stop. We're going to do that one.
Can we serialize this, Harry? Yeah.
And then you can come back next week and you can do the next item, and you know, and that could keep us going for a...
Well, I mean, it has. I mean, if you look in the Sun, shall we look at the Sun?
Yep.
You've got the Sun here. I mean, how have they covered it? They've got various spreads, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, they've done five pages. And I think, you know, thing to remember, the Sun is the vast majority of Harry's testimony yesterday was pretty scathing against Piers Morgan, who now works for Talk TV, arguably the most expensive journalist on the planet at the moment through the deal with that. So they're never going to side with Harry. And
yeah, because Talk TV is owned by Murdoch.
Talk TV is owned by Wireless Group, who in turn is owned by News UK. So they were never really going to kind of err on the side of Harold. But they have... Oh, excuse me. What's great about Harry's thing is it's catnip to the newspapers, especially the tabloids, because he said out loud the stories that they haven't really been able to talk about. So the whole Hewitt paternity thing is something that's been said in the playgrounds across the world for the past like 20 years. I remember I believed it. Yeah. There's still a little bit of me that might. But it's never really been allowed to be talked about in the papers until Harry himself said it in court. Now they're just reporting on something that Harry himself said.
But there's also quite a sad detail I found. Like, you know, when Harry was talking about that Hewitt case, he basically said he's referring to an article in The People, which is owned by Mirror Group, that they might have to do a paternity test. There might have to be a paternity test. And he thought that they were running this and he would be ousted from the royal family. Mm. So it's a kind of joke that got out of hand for him. Because as he's concerned, he might be ousted from the royal family. And the papers also reported that he smoked cannabis at Eton. And he was worried that he would be chucked out of Eton as well. So it's like he feels like he's standing on very unstable ground all the time.
Well, as Kurt once said, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you.
Yeah, exactly that. And it seems that some of the papers have been sympathetic to that. I mean, The Guardian is quite sympathetic to...
Yeah, deskmate John Crace sketched it for The Guardian, there is a terribly sad human story about somebody who loses his mother, is in the public eye the whole time, you know, in an emotionally distant family, just who's going to pieces. All of that said, just don't go to court. Never go to court. I mean, you know, and this is not. It's not going to make you feel better.
No.
And in a sense, the awful thing. Yeah.
The problem is he's not going to win. I don't think. You know, his testimony that he gave yesterday. I don't know who's been advising him, but it felt pretty paper thin. It's based on a gut feeling. You can't go to civil court with a gut feeling.
I think it's interesting. Okay, so if you look at how it's covered in the papers, they've got Jan Moyer on the case at the Mail.
Yeah.
She is she's an interviewer and a columnist. She's not a news reporter.
Yeah.
But even she is saying that he is very vague on detail. If you look in the Times also, they feel the same thing. He's not doing very well in the witness box. Mm. And that's what they're covering.
He was never going to get a good ride from the papers anyway, but you know, you can't complain about stories. I think there was a piece about eating trifle or smoking cannabis that you mentioned, whereby, or a holiday that he went on, or a conversation that he had with his brother, where he was complaining they must have got that through phone hacking. And the KC turned around and said, well, actually, you spoke about this in an interview the week before. And his response was, I can see why that might have
gotten the papers. There was a bit in the testimony yesterday where he said, look, they're saying one bystander said this. And it's like, you know, and I made me feel like I've been watched the whole time. It's like, no, Harry, when it says in the papers one bystander said, that's the reporter. That's literally, there are no bystanders in the real world. One onlooker, one bystander, that's, you know, trade secrets here. That is press code for, this is the comment that we want to make, but we are putting it in the voice of
attributing it to
an imaginary person on a footpath. And how he how he doesn't know that. You know, that's sort of to be this in the eye, this constant focus, and not to be aware that actually, with the best will in the world, sometimes, you know, especially royal correspondents, sort of have to do a lot with not very much, and sometimes they just guess, because there was a bit where they were talking about, you know, the divorce had had a bad effect on him. How would they know the divorce? Probably took a guess.
Yeah.
You know.
I think it's a different idea of what the papers actually do. Should we have a look at the Daily Telegraph? Because what I was shocked about with the Daily Telegraph is just how much time they've spent on it. So well, there it is on the front, looking like a geezer. He looks great. Ooh, there's a little bit there. But if you open it up is, like, I mean, a full-page spread.
And there's a lot of words on here.
Yeah.
You forget and how then, many words there are on a tabloid
and then
spread.
There's another... There's another
more words.
It's absolutely all over the newspaper. Sometimes it goes pop culture. It's kind of 10 things we learnt about Prince Harry from his big day in court. But they also sent their royal editor, Victoria Ward, to cover it as well. And the angle for that is just royal reporting, you know, not the happy-go-lucky Harry of old. There are few, if any, of the easy smiles.
Sadness in his eyes.
Exactly. It's that kind of royal correspondent, which he obviously hates, but they're still doing it because he's there.
Yeah.
If he wasn't there, they wouldn't really be doing it. They'd be guessing at it a bit. There's full pop culture in the Telegraph, but there are a couple of papers that seem to be ignoring this story. Which
Funny
ones
that.
Are they?
Right, so the Mirror have got a problem, which is that they are being sued. And actually, if the Mirror, as it were, do a mail, there is a serious danger that the judge holds the paper up and says, this is not how we behave when we're the defendant in a court case.
Yeah.
So the Mirror have... amazingly, they've it's barely on the front page. It's there because you've got to have it because
people
you're an
expect
editor.
To see
they, you know, you're on the newsstands. Harry's picture is going to be on everyone else's front page. You've got to have it on your front page. But the actual story, if you look at it on pages 8 and 9, it says by PA Court Staff, by the Press Association. So they have just taken what we would call wire copy.
Yeah, sun tidying his bedroom. It's the bare minimum.
Yeah, well, it's also... It's
very factual.
It is very, very straight. Yeah. No one can complain that you use PA copy.
Yeah.
And I think they are reasonably concerned about what the judge will say if they do anything else.
I think we should also mention The Express. So The Express is also owned by Mirror Group, but also Gary Jones, who's the editor of The Express, was a Mirror reporter at the time that we are discussing, which is basically between 1996 and the 2010s. He was a reporter at the Mirror.
Yeah.
So The Express is very like the Mirror in that it just covers it. There's a picture on the front saying, yep, Harry's in court. We're covering it really straight because there's no other way that you can do it if you were a Mirror reporter at the time he's discussing.
Well, you say that. You say there's no other way. There is. So we do have The Star, which is also owned by Reach, which also owns The Mirror and The Express. And
the
Star just looks like the most fun paper to work out in Britain at the moment.
Headline.
Shy bloke in rant at government. And what I love, I hope you can see in the picture, is they've done the little black eye...
The Crime Watch.
The Reader's Wives anonymising.
Hey, I went for Crime Watch, you went for Reader's Wives.
Well,
there you
go. on all of the photographs, including the court art.
Yeah.
Shy bloke in rant at government. A publicity shy man laid into the government yesterday, as he said, Britain's political system is at rock bottom. And it just goes on in that vein. The bashful bloke, the man, it calls him at one stage. It doesn't name him throughout.
It never names him. So.
Yes.
Yeah, The Star
Marvelous.
Is always
well,
great.
Well done, the Star, ever.
I mean, really, the court was obviously packed with reporters yesterday, inside, outside, but they're actually all on the same side. Would you say that? Really?
Yeah.
Fleet Street has closed ranks. There are people who've worked for the Mirror in the past who now work for the Sun. There's people who have worked for the Mail. You know, lots of people have worked for lots of different papers and they've all closing ranks and saying, actually, Harry, you're wrong.
I think it's not... I mean, you can be... You know, you can start putting bits of wall and photographs on a court board and joining things. It's, in a sense... Harry clearly has it in for all of the press. I don't think that he feels more warmly towards The Guardian, you know, than he does towards the Sun. So there is a little bit in this of just like, well, if you're against us, then we're against you, I think.
Yeah.
I think it doesn't help that, as you say, his case is, it just feels slightly... He may... Was Prince Harry's phone hacked? Probably Prince Harry. Everyone's phone was being hacked. It would be odd not to have hacked his phone. But you can't. It doesn't matter what you know, as Tom Cruise once said. It matters what you can prove.
Yeah.
And that's a crucial distinction. And him sort of sitting there saying, well, I think they did it. That's, you know, I'm sure they did it. I feel like they did it.
Yeah.
That won't win you the case.
But also they have closed ranks because they are all to a certain degree in some way, shape or form, if you dig below one or two or three layers down, going to be people that were involved in some way, shape or form back in the day, whether it was at the Guardian or the Express or the Sun, you know, so they will close ranks. It's honour amongst thieves.
The other big story of the day is the highly depressing news about the Novokarkovka Dam in southern Ukraine, which burst yesterday, leading to massive floods along the Dnipro River between Kakhovka and the sea. So this is alleged to be the largest attack on civilian infrastructure in Ukraine since the start of the war. Zelensky says that the Russians mined it previously and then pressed the trigger at 2:50 a.m. yesterday morning. But we don't, I mean, it's not proved, but that's what he's saying. Yeah. Russia is denying this because, and the reason why Russia is denying this is because if you blow up a dam, it's a breach of the Geneva Convention, i.e. it's a war crime. So far, there's 10 villages evacuated, 17,000 people in the critical zone. It's going to go up to 25,000. The water has dropped 15 centimetres an hour. The water was being used to cool a nuclear plant. It is a big and very devastating story. How is it covered? I feel like we should start with the Telegraph, actually, because the Telegraph is very good on this, I have to say. There's some really amazing reporting.
Well, it helps. The Telegraph is the only properly broadsheet paper left. And as well as being able to run acres on Prince Harry, it just gives you space to run great big fantastic photos. It gives you a proper sense of just how devastating this is.
Yeah, there's Roland Oliphant and Natalia Vasileva has written some really amazing stories. In the Telegraph, they've got details on wild animals wandering around the city. So basically beavers, which makes me laugh because it's like, did the beavers build the dam? But anyway, like the beavers are wandering around and roe deer as well. They've displaced landmines because the river was mined along the sides. All these landmines are now floating into people's gardens.
It's like a Roland Emmerich film,
it's just absolutely devastating. As the evacuation is being done by Ukrainian locals, they're being shelled. It's the zoo, the Kakhovka Zoo, has 300 animals die. There's a lot of detail in the story, which I found absolutely devastating. It's amazing reporting, I must say.
Yeah, no, they've done a great job. The Times has got, I mean, I think the Times has got the best photo, but it's just a shame it's so small. Which is of the dam being breached and the water rushing through.
Yeah.
It's a really dramatic photo. I would love to see it sort of four times the size.
It looks like AI. It doesn't look real. Yeah. It's so devastating.
It's one of those stories that you can't really understand the scale of what's happened because it doesn't. It's very difficult to articulate it in writing. You know, the dam's been lowered by 3.5 meters. Well, that doesn't sound like a huge thing, but when you see the photos like that, it's like, oh my god!
And
it's
actually, when you read the reporting, I would say that the Guardian has gone for a slightly different angle, right?
Yeah, they've gone for the ecological effect of it all and what it actually means for the environment and it is, and they've used the same picture as the Telegraph. But obviously to like you said, this is about the size of a pea compared to theirs, and it's just an incredible picture. It's like a house that looks a bit like the White House submerged in muddy water. But it's
the environmental impact is a very Guardian story, isn't it? I mean, that's what the Guardian generally has a climate crisis across the whole of its paper at all times. It's like a rumbling story that it will always cover, quite correctly, one would argue. And it's got the environmental angle. That's what it's gone for.
Yeah, and it's got, you know, they're talking to the relief workers who are actually on the ground having to deal with it. You know, as the dam lowered by 3 metres, so the water rose by 3 metres everywhere else, which has just caused an absolute cacophony of just hell for everyone involved. It just looks absolutely
I think it's worth noting how difficult doing this reporting is, because this is this easy in a war zone, and it's Dan Saber who's out there for the Guardian.
Yeah.
You know, this is supposed to be the territory that the Ukrainian army was planning to advance over. That's one of the theories as about why Russia might have done this, just to make it impassable. So getting these stories is non-trivial for the people who are out there. You know, they have to go to disputed areas and deal with floating landmines and shelling and so on.
Yes, it's very difficult. And they have, you know, the broadsheets have done it very well. I feel like we should, you know, give a thumbs up for the broadsheets
well
on this story.
Absolutely.
Because it's an appalling story reported very well. So what else have we noticed? Of course, as a woman, I have noticed what I should wear. So we have a feature in the Mail, right? Rob,
right.
You've got it right there. What should I be wearing from the Mail?
Do you want to look contrite, Miranda?
Obviously, at all times.
Just wear white.
Okay.
It's a great Mail spread of women wearing white clothes.
Triggered by Holly Willoughby.
This is harder than it looks. Yeah, it's Holly who asked if we were all right. On Monday, wearing white, and here are some other women wearing white: Rebecca Wardy wearing white, Colleen Rooney wearing white.
What a great company!
Lindsay Lohan wearing white, but it's really well done. It's
a double page spread.
Lindsay Lohan getting her first like splash in a tabloid for 10 years.
Yes, exactly.
Keep it pure and simple when seeking the sympathy vote.
I'm always seeking the sympathy vote, so I'll obviously try that. But then, while I'm wearing white, if I turn to the Telegraph, it tells me that I should be wearing silver jeans. Okay.
Wow.
We have. It's not just Beyoncé. Anyone can look good in silver jeans, which I think
I'm not sure I can.
It's a flat out lie. But anyway, there's six different versions of Beyoncé silver trousers I should be wearing. But then I turn to the Times, and here we have the real coup. I should be wearing a smock frock.
What's a smock frock?
I don't know what a smock frock is, Miranda.
I'm going to explain. So smocking, do you know what shearing is? It's like kind of elastication.
Is it a sheep?
No, absolutely
right.
Not.
It's like microblading.
So imagine, you know, like imagine a kind of Little House on the Prairie frock, which lots of people have been wearing recently.
Yeah.
That's been going on for a couple of years. Terrible fashion, but there we go. It's an elasticated bit at the top, quite 1970s, that kind of squidge open and shut, so you're always comfy. That's shearing, okay? Or smocking, and it is the Times. It's always the Times. The Times is telling me that smocking got cool. So not only should I be wearing a smock frock. White and silver jeans. I should also be wearing sunglasses.
Of course.
Which, obviously, I am right
now.
VIP. Yeah, VIP at all times. And as well as that, this is the one that I really love. When I go to the airport, I should forget me tracky. I should be wearing matchy-matchy at the airport and heels. And this, I'm just going to quote you here, it's from the fashion editor, Anna Murphy, who has spent a lot of time in airports recently. She's got a strange phenomenon to report. People are dressing up. I was in an airport just the other day. People are not dressing.
I mean, wearing clothes.
And
I
not
wear clothes up. To go to the airport.
Yeah, but are you wearing tailoring and heels?
No.
No, frankly not. I mean, this is a report, I think, from the BA Gold Lounge at
exactly.
Heathrow Terminal 5.
Who wears heels drinking their airport pint at 7 a.m?
Well, it's absolutely... Anyway, now I know what I should be wearing. And obviously, next time I come to Paper Cuts, I will be in silver jeans, white, wearing sunglasses and a smock frock and heels.
Fantastic.
Look forward
to it. That's your Glastonbury outfit sorted. I'll see you at Shangri-La at 4 a.m.
Okay. So also, I feel like we should mention Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift, the gift that keeps on giving. Let's have a look at The Sun.
The Sun. I've got that here. I have that here. Shafted by the Swifties.
What does this mean?
This means that how Taylor's newest ex hit a bum note with her protective fans. Now,
her newest ex is Matty Healy.
Matty Healy still kept the Y, even though he's nearly 30. It should be Matt. Come on, mate. It's an evergreen story that comes around all the time. There is always a pop star that has a fervent and protective kind of like ring of fans around them. Gaga had them. They've all had them. BTS,
Beyonce a bit.
Beyonce. They've all had them at some point. And this is a story that's a nothing story. It's a relationship that never confirmed that ever happened. I think it all and it's never been confirmed that relationship that never happened has actually ended. It's a completely fabricated wet dream.
Ruin it. You're breaking my heart.
Well, imagine how Denise Welch feels then, Miranda. She came that close to being Taylor Swift's mother-in-law. I think it all stemmed from... I think Taylor came on stage with the 1975 during their recent tour, which obviously just set the tongues a wagging.
But the interesting thing about that in that story there in The Sun is it focuses on the fans, which I think is quite a good angle.
Yeah, because the fans can be really scary.
Yeah,
I once backed up Roman Kemp on Twitter when he said something about BTS, and I had to close my Twitter account for 5 days. It was horrific. I had them phoning up Virgin Radio to try and get me sacked. You know what? It worked.
But in the Daily Telegraph, the cover feature on their feature bit is a picture of Taylor Swift with four. I mean, I have to say, remarkably similarly looking young men.
She's got a type, yeah.
Yeah, who are all her exes. One of them is Harry Styles. The ones I recognise is Harry Styles and Matty Healy. That's a Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
I don't know who that is.
He had which one had the cardigan song or sweater? I think it was Jake had the sweater song written about him.
Okay, so then this is a double page spread, and it's literally written about her ex-boyfriends. So we've got like several of them all lined up, and it says the famous splits that sent Taylor crying all the way to the bank.
Which is a weird story for them to put in there, isn't it?
Yes, so it seems very odd. It's odd to me, not because you're covering Taylor Swift, I think that's fine, but there is no angle. It's just literally listing her boyfriends.
My theory is that is an online story.
Yeah.
That they've put in the website to get for SEO and for search purposes and for a bit of clickbait. And it's like, oh, actually, we can fill a double page with some nice pictures of Jake Gyllenhaal.
Well, that's fair enough.
But again, no
objections to the Harry pictures, obviously.
Has she ever confirmed that she's been out with any of them? No.
Harry Styles. Anyway, so the Times, you have a nice story.
I'm going to my comfort zone. This is Ollie Wright's story in the Times. Boris Johnson's phone will be reactivated for the COVID inquiry. This is the phone that he turned off in 2021, and there's been sort of lying in a drawer somewhere. And
everyone's got that Tupperware box at home, haven't they?
He's going to turn it back on. I just feel that turning on Boris Johnson's phone after 3 years, it's like
terrifying.
It is the sex politics equivalent of the Indiana Jones vault. It's just, what is just messages coming in?
Dad! Dad!
I'm pregnant!
Where are you? Dad! It's me! No, number 9!
Don't do it.
We're coming to the end of today's edition, so let's choose the finest, the funniest, the most bizarre examples of the headline writer's art. What do we have? What are your headlines of the day? Jamie, I'm going to start with you. Got one from The Sun, right?
I have, yep. It's Ange Postecoglou, who's the new Australian Spurs manager, and the headline is "To Dare is to Didgeridoo."
Love it. Very nice. And what else have you got?
We've got the story about how the LIV Golf, the PGA and the DP, the three kind of like leagues of golf, have joined forces and followed the Saudi Arabian money, and it's called Peace in Our Tea Time.
T-E-E. Lovely. From the Star. We love the Star. And Rob, what do you have?
I'm going to the Mirror, where we've got the story that iPhone users will finally be able to use sweary words without being autocorrected. The headline is "The Duck Stops Here."
Beautiful. Love it. Love it. And what else have you got?
So I've got two slightly related stories from the Daily Star about what people do now they work from home. The first one is about what people are doing while they're working from home, and I just like it because it's great journalese. Work from home means bonks and booze shirk fest.
Hell yeah! That's my house.
Not entirely. The second one is about a very important scientific study into self-abuse.
Masturbation.
Can we say masturbation? Right. Which apparently turns out to have all sorts of useful side benefits. Who knew? And the headline is, "That's a handy excuse."
I love
Very
it.
Very good.
And that's the end of today's Paper Cuts. We hope you've enjoyed getting your fingers all inky with us. If you have, don't forget to follow us on your favourite podcast app and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Paper Cuts Show. The link's in the show notes, where we'll be spotting more of the papers at their best, worst and most baffling. Thanks to Jamie East.
Thanks for having me.
Where can we hear you next?
You can hear me on the Smart 7 or Dragoncast or anywhere, really. I'll just come and shout outside your house.
And thanks to Rob Hutton. Where can we read you next?
I'm going from here to Parliament to sketch Deputy PMQ, so that'll be on the Critic website later.
Oh, fabulous. OK, well, I've been Miranda Sawyer and you've been listening to Paper Cuts on a day when the Telegraph reveals that a lack of funds for pest control in India has forced farmers to hire men in bear suits to keep marauding monkeys away from their crops. See you next time.